Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite.
Welcome to Keys to the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of Heaven. We're inviting people who want to come here and camp for the weekend in Summer Lake. We have about 1,000 acres they can camp on. There's probably about 10,000 acres they can camp and hike on, and we may, if the skies are clear, which they usually are, we'll set up some telescopes and we'll talk the kingdom and we'll meet one another. And it will be on September 26th and 27th. In you can stay until the 28th, which is Yom Kippur, or Day of Atonement. We have a lot to atone for, and meet one another. If you're hardy and there's enough interest, we can carry the camping on through the Feast of the Tabernacle, which will go clean to the 10th of that month. That would be in the month of September. On the 11th, I'm out of here. I'm flying to New York. We'll get into New York on the 11th. Actually, I'll probably have to leave on the 10th. We'll get into New York on the 11th, September 11th. That would be great, huh? And am I doing that right? No, I guess I'm going to be... That will be on October 10th. I'll already on September 11th, I will be in New York. That will be before... the meeting. Hopefully I'll be back on September 14th. Got a little stay maybe in the airport on the morning of the 11th. But anyway, we'll just play this by ear. If anybody wants to get near Kennedy Airport or on Manhattan, I'll be doing a wedding there and might be able to meet with you. I think I'm staying in a motel that's less than an hour drive from the airport. Other people are making arrangements, so I can't tell you exactly. you got to walk by faith a little bit here and go where the Spirit leads you. And so anyway, I'll be in New York between September 11th and the 14th. We'll have a meeting here on the 26th that could go all the way to the 9th or 10th. About the 10th is duck hunting season, and this valley is invaded by large numbers of people who want to kill waterfowl. And so there's not much, there'll be a lot of room camping still out on our place. But if you're going to be staying in the RV park, which is right next door, where there's tent and camping and restrooms, or down at the lake, which is just below us, about an eighth of a mile, where there is more primitive camping and pit toilets and boat ramps, mile-long lake and a lake. Or if you want to camp up in the mountains, which are just down the road about 2 miles, all of a sudden the valley floor rises up into Fremont National Forest. That's all available to you. There's a hot springs down south of us. And I have no idea how many people that might come. We haven't even announced it on the Kingdom News list. That announcement hopefully will go out this weekend. We are just running ragged. The latest thing that has taken place, and is actually taking place as we speak, is we're uploading a new form for the Living Stones Network. And it's run by PHP, and it will also subscribe you to a newsletter that is specifically designed for the network. We can send letters out to people in your area only, in your area only, or we can send them out to everybody on the Living Network. The Living Network will get messages that the Kingdom News list does not get, and it will connect people in ways that the Kingdom News list does not connect people. So if you want to be connected better, more completely, you have to join a local network and elect a contact minister. I haven't even tried the forum yet. I'm actually trying to locate it on my outline page right now to see if the link even works. Let's see here. We'll give her a test. Hopefully this is going to be more friendly, user-friendly. We had a PDF forum that had a submit by email button, and some people's computer systems or their Adobe PDF reader was not up to date, and they didn't know how to get it up to date, and so it became difficult for them to submit their vote for their personal contact minister by email. And so we had that all set up with a database. I'll probably use that for filling out some other forms. We'll have the option of fill it out on the net, which makes it easier for us when you fill out certificate forms, et cetera. We get the information in a data field rather than your poor handwriting, which is often very difficult to understand. You think that people, when they're filling out forms that will become, you know, eternal records, at least as far as paper, it can be eternal, on, you know, things like marriage, birth, etc., that they would take extra precaution to write clearly so that we can tell each letter of the child's name. But some people just jot it down like they're in a big hurry. We don't want that. We want you to have a good, viable record, and so therefore we were going to make those forms so that you can fill them out on the net. And we've already done that with some, and we'll go back. I've learned a great deal about how to do that. We'll try to make it as simple as possible. It won't be submit by mail necessarily, but you'll be able to print out those forms and then mail them to us, because most of those forms require your signature. Because what it is, birth records, you should have that record in your own family, put it in your own Bible in a safe place. But you want a third-party record of these events. Houses burn down, things are destroyed, people die. So you want a third party that is in charge of keeping those records on your behalf as a public servant. Now, of course, governments of the world, they offer themselves as a public servant, but they are a part of a system of benefaction that exercises authority, and they want you to register your child so that you can obtain benefits from them. But their benefits are obtained by taking away from your neighbor and providing you with their benefaction. If you think that's okay, that's great. How's that working out for you? Do you realize that if you think it's okay that your leaders can take away from your neighbor for your benefit, then your leaders can take away from you for your neighbor's benefit? And guess what? You've got more neighbors than you got yourself. So there's more of them out there than there are of you. And guess what else? There's more of them out there that are selfish and self-centered and self-serving than you. So if you enter into an agreement with leaders that can take away from your neighbor for your benefit, your neighbors, including all your selfish neighbors and your self-serving neighbors, can take away from you for their benefit. And guess what's going to happen? They're going to take the first fruits of your labor, the best of your fields. They're going to take your sons and daughters, and they're going to make your sons run before their chariots, and they're going to turn you into a human resource because you turned your neighbor into a human resource. So that's the network that you now are probably a full-fledged member of. Your ministers can come to your house, kick in your door, and take what they want from you according to the gods of that government, which are the lawmakers, the sovereigns. You're not a sovereign anymore because you've given them the right to decide for you. You want to rescind your documents and go back to the original status? Well, that's great, but there's no debt involved with your membership, is there? Because if there's debt involved with your membership, you can't just rescind your documents anymore. You can tell Caesar, you can tell Pharaoh, let me go. But Pharaoh can harden his heart and say, I don't think I'm going to let you go today. So that's where everybody is. They're all in the bondage of Egypt. They're all in the bondage of Babylon. They've all gone back to praying to Nimrod to provide them with their needs. And he's a mighty provider instead of the Lord. Now, the Lord provides you by faith, hope, and charity. You know, you get into a network of other souls by baptizing yourself into, well, you don't baptize yourself, but you have to actually, they have to recognize that you are washing up and cleaning up your act and that you're coming into a network. And if you don't have a coat and they have two, they may share with you. They may not. They're going to take a look at you and they say, well, what kind of a guy is this? Does he share with others or not? Well, if he doesn't, then they probably don't want to share with you because they know you're one of those other guys. You know, just before the program began, the news story was talking about Christianity and churches are on the decline in many countries. And they say that people are looking more for, instead of a relationship with a church, they're looking for a relationship with Christ. That's great, a relationship with Christ. But, you know, most of these Christians out there haven't got a clue who Christ was. Oh, they throw words out like, oh, yeah, he was God, and he was the Messiah, Yeshua. You know, they got all these little names and labels they put on him, but what was he really all about? What was he really doing? Well, one thing, he cared about others more than he cared about himself. He cared about doing what was right more than he cared about comfort. So if that's the kind of person you are, maybe you do have a relationship with Christ. But if you're coveting your neighbor's goods through the agency of governments that you have elected for yourself, you don't even have a clue who Christ is. Because Christ wasn't like that. He didn't covet his neighbor's goods through the agency of governments he could have applied to. He didn't apply to them. His kingdom was not a part of their world. He had another system that he was a part of, a system that John the Baptist was describing. You got two coats, your neighbor has none, share. You know, charity. Hey, there's a revolutionary idea. Faith, hope, and charity. Yeah, you want to join the revolution? Stop coveting your neighbor's goods to the agency of the governments you elect. You think you're going to elect Ron Paul or somebody? I have no offense against Ron Paul. Probably a nice guy. Seems to be a pretty nice guy. Never met him. But why should I make him God over my life? You can go and try to elect these guys. I've seen this for decades upon decades upon decades. You know, elect the president of your choice. Elect the congressman and senators of your choice. Well, here, I'll ask that question again. How's that working out for you? Probably not all that well, okay? It's probably working out terribly. Well, I see a mistake on the page already. The form seems to come up. Got the wrong heading at the top of the page for a title of the page in that coding. It's the page is made so that you can actually print it out. I think you can. There's a little CAPTCHA code down at the bottom. Remember, do not enter spaces in your CAPTCHA security code when you enter it. People are always trying to put spaces between the letters. You don't want to do that. I recommend that everybody who uses the form, it may not be uploaded everywhere, be on hisholychurch.info only right now. And that has a sister mirror site, so it has to be loaded, uploaded in two places. And I don't know which one you'll go to because it depends on where you are at on the net at any given particular time. So let's see if this link works. But anyway, at Livingstone's Network, electing your personal contact minister. Elect your personal contact minister now. I'll put in probably, I'll tweak this form a little bit, but I think it will work. Even if you've already elected a contact minister, I'm going to have people go to that form and reuse it because we're moving over to a different database. And by electing someone, you're entered into a particular subscription of the Living Network newsletter. We've only had the Kingdom newsletter, and we've used it for both purposes. Well, now we're going to use those people who actually take the time to elect a contact minister, give him their particulars, their phone number, their address, so that he can keep in contact with them. Those people will get special preferential treatment. I get phone calls. I was working, trying to support this minister doing manual labor yesterday. And I had call after call of people in trouble here, in trouble there, or just wanting to chat. And it was hampering my ability to even make money to support this ministry. People, you know, and some of them were polite about it, that I, you know, I had to get back to work. But the fact is there's a lot of work to all this. We've been up very early this morning. And went to bed very late last night. We had computer problems. I actually have wires running through the yard now in order to be on the net. Because our overhead cable linking our computers from one building to the next somehow gets defective after a while. I'm not sure what it is. But anyway, we ran one on the ground, and it seems to be working. It's allowed us to, without going out to what we call the shop, been able to stay on the net. So anyway, this contact election minister form is going to be critical. The way it works is that hopefully we'll get 10 people that will elect one contact minister. If you're in the state of Texas, there's one, John Coffey. There's another one in California, another one in Wisconsin, and there should be one in Colorado, should be one in Michigan and Massachusetts, and these people have to elect a contact minister, because that contact minister will be put on a special list where he will be in contact with other contact ministers, and they can work together on projects to help bring more and more people together. It isn't enough just that we know a few people have a few good ideas. Your church should be what it was in the first century. It was your health, education, and welfare. It was your FEMA auxiliary, which we refer to as Faith Emergency Management Auxiliary. Precursors rising. I got notices this morning for earthquakes on the west coast here, and even down in Puerto Rico. We haven't seen too much activity in the Midwest, but we will. You're going to see earthquakes. You're going to see volcanic eruptions. You're going to see collapses in economy. You're going to see food shortages. You're going to see all these horrible things. Enough said. Watch the news. Look to, like Jesus said, look for signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. And the fact is, there's all kinds of strange things going on up above. And it means that there will be cataclysms and disasters here on the earth. We've got some time. some of you don't have any time, but always, always it's a good time to repent and change your ways. And if you really have a relationship with Christ, you will be spending half of your day trying to figure out how to help other people out. And one way to do that is to build this network. a network of people who care as much about their neighbors' rights as they do their own. Now, the network that people have now called government, those are the people that care as much about themselves as they do themselves. They don't really care much about their neighbor. They would are glad to send men to their neighbor's house and force their neighbors to contribute to their welfare, to provide them with free education, free health care. These are the selfish, wicked people of the world. These are the people who hate Jesus Christ. Oh, they praise him in their churches, but if you are willing to force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare, then you are coveting your neighbor's goods, and you are violating the Ten Commandments. You despise the laws of God, and you are making the laws of God to none effect. You have participated in a system of Corban that Christ condemned. So you can't really have a relationship with Christ and think that's okay, because you don't think like Christ. You don't know him. You don't know who he is, or how he operates, or how he lives. What's his values? You don't even have a clue. You say Yeshua, you say Yahweh, but you don't know who he is unless you understand who he is, what he believes, what his precepts are. So you tell me, you love Jesus and you hate your neighbor, you covet your neighbor's goods, you send thugs to your neighbor's house to force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare because you want health care, because you want free education for your children? What kind of a false Christian are you? So anyway, there's my lambaste against all those false Christians out there who have been seduced into an apostasy that has nothing to do with Christ whatsoever. Christ meaning anointed, anointed meaning Messiah, Messiah being Messiah, all the same thing. Let's not get carried away with witchcraft, thinking that if you say certain words, then suddenly you're going to conjure up the Holy Spirit. Now, someone asked me a couple times this week, called me about, and he may be listening to the radio program this morning, asked me about the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I can't tell you about the Holy Spirit. You have to experience it. You have to understand it by letting it into you. How does it get into you? Well, one thing, it probably doesn't want to have anything to do with you unless you have the character of Christ. And you probably do not have the character of Christ. But you may be getting closer to it. You may be getting a true relationship with Yeshua, Jesus, the Christ, by becoming more and more like the Christ. And if you are not like the Christ in some areas, then we can intellectually talk about those areas so that you will get the idea, I'm not really as loving of Christ as I thought. And you can do a little soul searching, a little repenting, a little turning around, a little heading more back into the direction of the character of Christ. Now, if you don't love Christ, you will find it very hard to be like Christ. But if you love Christ, who he was, who he actually was, someone who tended to the weightier matters, what he called law, justice, mercy, faith. If you really love him, you will find it easier and easier to move in that direction. If you don't really love him, you'll find it very hard to go in that direction. You'll find all kinds of things to stop you, all kinds of excuses. You know, you'll be involved with drugs and smoking and excessive drinking, immoralities, all those things. Also, you'll be coveting your neighbor's goods through the agency of government and be willing to let that government, you know, finance that government so it can go and kill other people and imprison other people and abuse other people, because you don't really love Christ. Now, if you really love Christ, you'll turn around and it'll be a lot easier to pick up his burden than the burden of the world has you carry right now. We'll be right back.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen. There's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
If you read the history books, the most often asked question to Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War from the Old Pass Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free? Or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. Get this DVD presentation for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Call 559-781-3773. The truth seems strange only because we've been indoctrinated with a fiction. War of Federal Aggression. Get it today.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, you may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. While we were on the break, I was trying to upload some of those corrections we talked about earlier in the forum, and it does not seem to be working. But anyway, we'll keep at it. Today is the Sabbath, and we like to take the Sabbath off. We moved our radio program to the morning on the Sabbath. Seemed appropriate to do that. Because that's the day of rest. You should all be at home resting. And here I am getting up early in the morning and working on this forum. Well, why would I do that on the Sabbath? Well, the fact is there's a quote that Jesus is talking when he is... talking in a meeting in a synagogue, and when he was departed hence, he went into their synagogue, it says, on the Sabbath day. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? That they might accuse him. So they were trying to trap him, and he ran into that all the time. They were trying to trap him to get him to do something that was unlawful in the eyes of the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees had it wrong. They had everything confused. They had Sabbath confused, what it was all about. They had usury confused. They had, because they had all imposed usury taxes on, and they had income tax then, they had property tax, they had sales tax. All these things had been implemented by the Congress of the Pharisees in the form of the Sanhedrin. And these lawmakers, as they had become, were forcing people to contribute to the welfare of their neighbor. And this was what they call Corban. Corban always is a sacrifice for the welfare of your neighbor. Even in the Quran, when you sacrifice a lamb in the form of Corban, when you go to cut up that lamb to be consumed, because they sacrificed them and they ate them, just like the Passover feast. It wasn't just setting them on fire. That's all a bunch of hooey. They actually ate them. Meat was very hard to come by, no refrigeration, so, you know, when you killed a sheep, you had to share it with everybody else. But you had to, you have to cut up that meat, in, even in the Quran, and the poor have to get their portion before any of the lamb is consumed. You see, because it's all a part of their welfare system. That's what it's about. That's what Corbin's about. It's your social security system to help those out in your community that have true needs, not the selfish, slothful. The slothful shall be under tribute. They should go to the other system. But all you diligent, hardworking people, industrious people, people who tend to the weightier matters of law, justice, and mercy, and faith, you should be coming together in a network based on faith, hope, and charity. But anyway, Jesus goes on and he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath day. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. So that was a very interesting point that Christ made. Even though those guys were trying to trap him, that individual was there for a reason, and Christ healed him. And here we are today on the Sabbath, and you are in a pit. This whole nation is in a pit of bondage. I have thousands and thousands of my master's sheep who are in a pit. And so should not I wake up early in the morning, even on the Sabbath, and try to pull them up out of that pit? Who will lift up their hand to come out of the pit? Now, we raise sheep. We know the mind of a sheep, and the sheep of the Lord are no different. Do you hear the voice of the Lord in what I'm telling you? Or do you hear the voice of the Lord in that minister down there on the street corner preaching in his Assembly of God or his Methodist or his Catholic Church? Have they been preaching you the gospel of the kingdom? Have they been liberating the captive? If that church down there is where you think you ought to be, I'm going to ask you a question. How's that working out for you? Well, if it's not working out for you, if it's just making you feel good in your bondage and in your slavery and delivering you in the bondage so that you can't even go to anybody in the time of emergency but FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Association or whatever it is, agency, instead of the Faith Emergency Management Auxiliary, then something's drastically wrong with the church you've been going to. I sent off last night a new article for News and Views, and I'm going to try diligently, if I can find the time, to get articles to them once a week or once every other week so that we start hitting it hard. Hopefully we will test this system of the new contact minister sign-up sheet and election sheet so that you can all participate in the Living Network, and we can get more and more people doing this so that you don't even though you're in Texas or in Michigan and you've got 20, 30 people on that list, we're going to start getting people to either elect a contact minister or miss out. You're not going to get all the notices. You're not going to get all the information. You know, when we want the sheep to go through a gate they've never gone through before, we'll throw out a little hay so that they can, you know, go to that hay. And you know, we do this with cattle more, and we throw it out in the, you know, in the gate. And they come through a little ways, and they eat a little bit of the hay, and then we throw out a little bit more, and they come through the rest of the way because they like what they're getting. And we give them good hay. As a matter of fact, we got to put up some more hay. we're just about to the last of the hay now. But that encourages them to come through the gate. Now, the world does the same thing. They lay out benefits, too. But the nature of what we do is not to imprison you in our system, is to set you free from their system. You're already in a prison. You're already in a locked gate. We're trying to get you to come through the gate into the fields of the Lord, where the fields are nourished by the loving green grass of faith, hope, and charity. And we lead you to walk along the still waters. They are going to throw you in the river and drown you. As a matter of fact, if people do not develop an alternative system to the welfare system they have today, they will have no welfare, because this system will fail. It is the unrighteous mammon, and it will fail it. Do you have something else in place? If you don't, you better get in gear and turn around and start heading towards the kingdom, because that's the only choice you have, is the world of Caesar and Pharaoh and Nimrod, or the world of Christ, the ways of Christ. And the ways of Christ are faith, hope, and charity. And don't tell me you're in a Christian church and all your welfare is provided by the benefactors who exercise authority one over the other. Because Jesus said, it is not to be that way with you. So, as we continue here, for some reason or other, something is not working when I tried to get into a particular website. I don't know why that is, to upload these files. Something's not working. But anyway, I am uploading the files to some degree here and making that work. My FTP transfer is not working, and I have no idea why. It says that we've lost our local host connection. I don't know. Maybe we're going to have to string another wire up. But anyway, we'll be working on that. It looks like as soon as the program's over, trying to figure out why that's not functioning the way it needs to be functioning. We seem to have a connection with the Internet. But anyway, these are the problems that we have. We're constantly working on this. I mean, we work from early in the morning till late at night. I mean, late at night, almost actually from early in the morning to early in the morning many times. And trying to make this network function, to get these articles up, to prick people's attention so that they can actually hear the whole gospel. We have lots of praise from people about what we write and how it stirs their soul, and that they realize that they've been deceived, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it takes a lot to make this happen. And we have to go out and do manual labor in order to support this ministry. And we don't mind the manual labor, but while we're doing that, we're not fixing these other problems that arise up. So if you want more done, if you want us to work more efficiently, you have to support what we're doing. If you don't care, that's fine. We're the government that operates on faith, hope, and charity. We're not going to force anybody to do anything. We serve Christ with every bit of resources that we have available. And it's up to you whether or not you want to be a part of that. And these contact ministers, we've got one in Wisconsin who went out, set up a web page, keysofthekingdom.info. And he's helping share information on a website there, and we encourage that. That's taken a tremendous burden off us. He's doing a project that we wanted to do ourselves. But we're preoccupied with dozens of other projects. We have lots of irons in the fire. We uploaded another video. Actually, we uploaded it a couple days ago, and then when I played it back, we found a glitch in it. We've gotten one of the quotes to change one of the quotes. And we had to change that, so we change it, then we have to upload it again. That means that the YouTube URL will not be the same. Therefore, we have to change that on all the websites. And for some reason or other, we are not getting access to the full websites now. we're getting some email that is being picked up by the... our connection, but evidently part of the either one of our web pages or something is not, some part of the internet we're not getting access to, and we haven't figured out why that is. But we'll have to do that when we're off the air. But these are the kinds of problems we have. Contact ministers will be very important because when people want to call me, they'll have to get a hold of me through their local contact minister eventually. As this, I can see this network growing and growing and growing, and I'm one person here. We have some of, other brothers, Brother James, Brother Nathan. Richard helps out a great deal, but they all have things they must do too, and so it's becoming a tremendous burden as the network grows. Many more people are signing on to the Kingdom News List. Many more people want explanations. That's why we want the audios and videos available so that you get those explanations. The radio station archives audios. We have audios separately that we have on the web page that try to explain these things and answer your questions. One-on-one answering of everybody's questions is going to be very difficult. It's very time-consuming, especially when you're dealing with thousands of people that are asking questions. So there's no way one person can do this. And we see that same problem presented to Moses. He was trying to help everybody with every question, every dispute, and it was destroying him. And he says, you can't do that. So you need to organize differently. And the way you do it is you set up these congregations. And these congregations pick a minister. And that minister, he has a question, he can maybe answer it. He can talk with other ministers who've already had the question. And they say, well, this is how I answered it, this is how I answered it. And then he can answer it accordingly. If he's still stumped, then he can call me. So then I'm only dealing with X number of contact ministers and not dealing directly with every single person and every single problem and every single question. I physically cannot do that. So this is very important. And also, I should be diminishing in this network. I am not the key to the network. You are the key to the network. Your contact minister is your contact point. And that contact minister will be linked with others. And then when we have these gatherings, like we're talking about on September 26th, 7th, and 8th, And all the way up into October 9th or 10th, you guys can come all the way out here to Summer Lake and camp out and walk the hills, walk the mountains, go down swimming in the river, bring a boat. We have a few canoes here. We'll put on whatever demonstrations you want. If we get enough people, we'll roast the fatted lamb. And we'll experiment with some of these things. We'll show you artesian wells and and you know, the fields of the high deserts and the oasis that is the place that his church is trying to purchase to create a retreat ground for all the people that we can manage to help in times, as well as retreat grounds in other places across the country. It is so important. The treasure of the kingdom of heaven is the people themselves. This is what we need to invest in, is the people themselves. We have people with all kinds of knowledge and information about health, about raising food, improving soil, you know, first aid, second aid, third aid, all those aids that you can get from one another. And that is our resource, is that collective mind and intent and spirit. And you need to bring that together, because you're going to be facing real wickedness, real chaos, real demonic influences that are pervasive throughout the world. And you will need other souls who are and have a relationship with Christ, a true relationship, because they actually care about others as much as they care about themselves. Which is one of the interesting things about this network, that if you don't even bother to become a part of the network, then that is very, very clear evidence to me that you don't care about others as much as you care about yourself. Now, it should be really easy to care about your wife or your husband, you know, and your children, because, I mean, that's a part of your life. I mean, you know, it could be a very mutual, I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine, and you have these other influences that should make it so easy, and people are finding it even difficult to do that. But how do you love your neighbor? How do you love your neighbor 50 miles away, 100 miles away, 1,000 miles away? Shouldn't you love somebody in New York as much as you love somebody in Oregon? Don't you love all people equally? One of the things I commonly tell people, you don't love anybody as much as you love the person you love the least. You know, that is the nature of love. That you know, Christ came because God so loved the world. Now, this is the world, the systems of men. He so loved the men that were in those systems that he was willing to give his only begotten son that they might be saved from that world in which they had gone into bondage. I mean, God sent Moses to save the Israelites who had, you know, sold their own brother into slavery. He sent Moses to save them from the slavery they deserved, because he's about justice and mercy. So why aren't you, who think you love Jesus, have the same character, that you will not spend your Sabbath morning or the rest of the week, at least half of the rest of the week, trying to save others? Everybody is in this pit of bondage. And the pit's going to flood with chaos and disaster. And all the sheep will drown in this disaster that is coming. Already millions of people have lost their homes, their life savings. That's a disaster. Oh, it doesn't bother you? Well, then you don't know Christ. Do you care about others as much as you care about yourself? Those people lost everything, and it didn't have to be. If we were real Christians, it would not have happened. But it happened because we aren't real Christians. We aren't real Muslims. We aren't real Jews. We aren't real Hindus, because Abraham had this same message. Moses had this same message. Love thy neighbor as thyself. So if you're not doing that, then you betray Moses. You betray Christ, who were in agreement. You betray Abraham. You don't have his faith. You want to live by force, fear, and compulsion rather than faith, hope, and charity. Abraham went out and was willing to walk away from the mountain of that government power that sacrificed one and another, that flesh pot that does take a bite out of one another, that covets thy neighbor's goods. He walked away from that. So if you believe in the God of Abraham, you have to walk away from that too. But Christ didn't want you just to get out of the system. He didn't say, get out of the system and say Yahweh. He said, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And they'll kick you out. They'll abandon you. They'll separate you. And that's what we have to change our thinking. It's not about getting out of the system as much as it is turning around and seeking the system of God. You do need ministers. Every nation has ministers. You just need to choose ministers who live in an office of service, not one of power. One who will share with you what is given to him by your brothers in Christ. And that's his mission. And he does a good job at it. You have ministers who will give you something of what they take away from your neighbor for your benefit, but it also benefits them. But that's not Christ's system. That's not the kingdom. That's the kingdom of bondage. So what are we going to do here? So how are we going to handle this? Are we going to get on, if you go to the website and you see a drop-down menu up there at the top that says network, and you go to local, locate local group, and click on that, it will take you to a particular page. And you can sign up for a local group or a state, Australia, New Zealand. We'll start them in other countries, too, if you want other countries. And we'll start connecting these people together. And then if you help promote this radio show, help us get on other radio shows, we will preach this gospel, as you see preached on the net already, and we will gather more people to this network. And you can go out and meet them. And many of the ones you meet, you'll say, well, wait, I don't want to have anything to do with this person. But then you let your contact minister know what you found. And he will start alerting others about the dangerousness of that individual. And those who are willing to do that, those are the people who are seeking the kingdom. Because they care about you as much as they care about themselves. That is the revolution that we need to become a part of. Revolution of Christ. Till we see each other again, may peace be upon your house.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.